Next item, 1083.
Amend a contract with Central City Concern to increase the not-to-exceed amount by $375,742 to provide additional treatment readiness services, transitional housing, and follow-up retention support services to chemically dependent homeless adult chronic arrestees.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good morning.
Is anyone working on the sound issue, the popping?
They were checking with open
Okay,
signal.
It's really tough to listen to.
Is it too loud?
It's ticking. The mics have seemed quite loud today. Loud.
Okay.
But
I turned the speakers off upstairs.
Yeah. Thank you, Carla.
Would you like to tell us about this item?
Absolutely. I'm Emily Rochon. I'm the Service Coordination Team Program Manager. With the Portland Police Bureau embedded within the Behavioral Health Unit. The proposed ordinance adjusts the current contract between the city and Central City Concern to match the increased already approved budget in this year's budget, 18-19. We entered the current contract in fiscal year 16-17 after an RFP process. The adopted budget and amendment will include increasing the number of supportive transitions and stabilization units from 6 units to 12, so increasing the number of clients that we're serving, which includes also increased staffing and client support services. The supportive transitions and stabilization program is a portion of the service coordination team run by Central City Concern. The program is currently a 6-bed program, which allows the Behavioral Health Unit and the Behavioral Health Response Teams, that's the officer clinician teams, to address those who they're working with that have perceived mental illness and also homeless, to address the housing first. So it's a direct resource for the Behavioral Health Response Teams. To refer to the program, and then Central City Concern provides all the wraparound services for next steps, stabilization, connecting to treatment services, and then next steps to appropriate either transitional housing, permanent housing, and again, wraparound services. It also includes an inflation adjustment since we've been in the contract since 2016-17. As we all know, cost of living has increased, housing has increased, just overall cost in the city has increased. So, and also the Oregon minimum wage is increasing, and Central City Concern is proactively adjusting current employee wages to ensure equitable wages for experience and longevity as well. And also, with the inflation of unit costs are increasing. And since we've been in contract with Central City Concern, the units that we paid for were actually below average than other Central City Concern units. So there's an adjustment there as well. And it's still actually below average of other single room occupancy units throughout the city.
Did you want to add anything? Or?
I'm Melissa Bishop. I'm the Associate Director of Recovery Housing Programs, and I oversee the STS program. And I just want to say, since the beginning of this program, we have served 77 of our very most vulnerable folks on the street with mental health disorders. 28 of those people have exited into permanent housing and are still doing well today. That's a really big number when we're talking about this population. These are the people that we see over and over for years that are not getting services, and we have been able to bring them into our program and really make a difference. And so some of those people go into higher mental health programs, and exiting into permanent housing is really important for these folks. And so we're just really excited to do this work.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question. You mentioned about inflationary costs. Do we pay all of the staff at least $15 an hour?
No. The current, about a third of the employees there make under $15.
So that's not in compliance with our policy, though, is it?
The Oregon minimum wage
The city's policy that all anybody who's working full-time gets $15 an hour.
But they're not city employees.
But they're contract employees, and we passed that.
They actually have that bumped up. So all of our assistant case managers, they are the folks that work our 24-hour staffing, all have been bumped up in this new budget to $15 an hour. So everybody working at the Golden West right now with the HRR program, STS, are making $15 an hour.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And I would encourage you in future to look at pay increases as well as inflationary increases, because these staff are doing incredibly difficult work, important work, and it's important. Sarah, could you not snap, please?
That's
because it's very
really
distracting.
Disruptive.
Thank you. It's important for the clients to have continuity, and when people can't afford to live in Portland, for example, because they don't make very much money. So even though we may increase our investment, we may not then expand beds, but I, for one, will vote for that because I do want your staff to know how very important the work is, and I value it.
They're very valuable to us, too.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Is there a public testimony on this item?
Yes, I show five people signed up. Sarah Hobbs, I believe that might be Philip Wolf, and Ida Pingala.
Philip may have left already.
He left. Okay, we'll go with Maggie then. Also.
For the record, my name is Sarah Hobbs. So it just hit the news that 61% of all Portland arrests are due to the homeless, and 82% of these arrests are chronic arrests of the same people who are within the homeless community. The service coordination team's work is to reach those people who are most getting arrested. So as police commissioner, you're going to help yourself, Mayor, by approving this budget and getting those statistics down. B.O., what frustrates me is we are constantly here at City Hall debating the service coordination team's budget when I personally feel it is the best program the police bureau has to minimize the criminalization of the homeless. So I'm appealing to you, actually, Mayor, in your position as police commissioner. But I'm sorry, it's not my goal to be distracting, Commissioner. You can tell how strongly I feel about this and want the attention brought to it. Forgive me for distracting you. Well, if you see it, tell me. If you could give me a thumbs up so I know I'm being heard, I'd appreciate it as well. But again, sorry for the distraction. This is an amazing but horribly underfunded program that will do great work toward the goal of decriminalization of the homeless. And it will get a lot of people off your back, Mayor, so I'm appealing to a little personal here, too. Thank you.
Thank you. And I enthusiastically agree with you. And this was a top priority for me in this last year's budget, and also moving it from one-time funding to permanent funding. And so I look forward to expanding it from here. And as you know, there are other service partners besides the police bureau, there's Central City and others. And therefore, as we expand the program, we also have to think about the capacity that those programs have. But I enthusiastically agree with you.
Yeah, it's CCC's role at the SCT, but it's not just Central City concerns.
That's correct.
But it's the group, it's right. The service coordination team as
yeah.
a whole.
So I'm in complete agreement with you. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Well, I think actually, didn't we also move it to cannabis tax money? So that's a much more dedicated funding stream. So you don't need to keep coming back because it's now, as the mayor said, in permanent funding with a solid revenue source.
Do I have a witness to what the commissioner just said?
It's all on the public record.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
Maggie, do you want to go next?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to talk about the fact that I have a letter from my landlord when she upped the rent $250, and I was economically ousted out of my apartment after 8 years and kept all my rental receipts, and I've never been to jail, and arrested, and I'm 54. So, you know, if I end up on the street and I've been a victim of fair housing, and you've got these BID districts and these clean and safe people going around and taking people's stuff, and I end up on the street with everything I own in a bag, and you take my bag after I've been a victim of the fair housing laws, you know, you're just criminalizing me for being poor. I want to say, you know, after I started advocating against the conditions in Salvation Army, which you came and you called them ahead of time, and I know this because they were checking all their fire alarms and putting all their chairs in line before you came.
And did this and this
is let me finish what I'm saying, please. People can't go into the shelter if the shelter isn't safe. And if you go in and call them ahead of time before you come in and cover your eyes and ears, and you don't know what you're looking at and you don't know what's wrong unless people come and tell you, and unless you're willing to talk to those people, you're just criminalizing the poor.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Ida Pingala, and in relation to what Maggie just said.
Ida, can you make this relevant to the subject at hand, which is the contract with Central City Concern?
The thing is, one thing about CCC, Central City Concern, is not only are they extremely corrupt, and they're a force in this community because they're here and they're everywhere, and they've got their little cleanup things. It looks like a lot of window dressing, and it is mostly window dressing. They're one of the biggest collections and companies of poverty pimping that's going on in this city, if not the state. They have certain rules, like a person has to be clean and sober to live there. Yeah, fine, except what if the person has never had a problem with drugs or alcohol? And let's say the person takes communion Sunday and it shows up as alcohol. Then they get kicked out, and then they're back down in there. Okay, CCC is not only corrupt, but a lot of the things that they're doing are not right. Okay, yes, they're opening up places for people that have low income, but you know what? It's being turned into the cycle. They're perpetuating the cycle of getting people in there and then getting them out, getting more people in there and then getting them out. It's not a very, shall we say, positive situation. Yes, they're there, and they're there, and they're obvious, and they're helping people. But actually, they're just keeping it at a level to where it's just the mill. It's grist for the lowest rungs of the mill. And I would like to see them be seriously accountable for what they're doing and why they're doing it and who they're allowing in and why they're not allowing other people in and why they just aren't elevating the types of places they have. It's just terrible accommodations.
Thank you. Does that complete public testimony?
I know, because I've
Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
And I've dealt with CCC on many levels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and I'm not sure if at Central City the way they do it, but one way they could administer this sobriety testing at Central City Concern is they could make you say Dr. Rachel Solotaroff, who's now the director, emeritus director. Blackburn has moved on. One thing that obviously this funding is critical, the most dramatic evidence that it's critical is the number of times you walk past Central City's building on Burnside and you see the people sleeping on the sidewalk outside. Probably also the same situation just a few blocks north at the Golden West. And when you approve this funding, it's also critical, and if you'd had a more open and engaging dialogue with these testifiers, they would tell you that they're only able to serve a select few, and the rest of them are left sleeping outside on the sidewalks in front of their buildings because we don't fund adequate emergency housing. warehousing people isn't fun, it isn't pretty, but it's prettier than hypothermia. And also, it does give an element of stability. So talk to the Central City Concern workers and find out that, yes, this investment will help them move people into very limited housing resources. Some people will be saved if you just move them into mass shelters. Doesn't matter if it's Wapato or some other building that's got a U on it that can be made slightly safe. People are having relapses and staying in chronic substance abuse because it is the only way they can cope with being locked out of public buildings and sleeping on the sidewalk and urinating on the sidewalk and defecating in the parks because we don't give them adequate indoor structure. They don't all need this level of expenditure and care. Some of us do, but we also, with this, need to provide basic humanitarian indoor hygienic shelter. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further public testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Very good. So this is a colleagues, any other questions? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading, but in response to some of the testimony, I just want to read one set of facts. As you know, Central City provides the services that support the service coordination team's effort to decrease chronic arrests of homeless adults who are enrolled in the Bureau's Housing Rapid Response Program. The program is proven. Based on data from 2017, there was an 82% reduction in post-program arrests for those who had graduated from the program. That is the point of this program, is to reduce interactions between the chronically homeless and the police. And to do that by providing whatever services people need to get off and stay off the streets, including drug addiction treatment. Is it too small? Yes, of course it is. The problem is much bigger than this solution individually can possibly address. But as I say, and Sarah certainly said, I am enthusiastically supportive of this. It moves to second reading.